This is Krista Ungelter from Feel Good in Body, Mind, Heart, and Spirit. Today I'm going to share with you my article post, Toasted Sesame Honey Crunch, which is actually a recipe with an accompanying video demonstration of the recipe. But for those of you who are podcasters or for other people who like to listen to the written information I offer, I have decided to make a recording of it. So if you're a listener on the podcast, you may find it more beneficial to go back after you listen to this and check out the video. I hope you find it useful and beneficial. And it's only two ingredients: white sesame seeds or pumpkin seeds, and honey. And for those of you who like that sweet and salty taste, you can add a little dash of sea salt just before you put it in the fridge. The health and food facts are very simple. Without sounding preachy, I would like to suggest being curious about the food you eat. Buy things you have never tried before. Go to foreign grocery stores. Try the same food in its different forms: raw, steamed, stovetop, or oven-baked, dry, or with oil. Notice not only what they taste like, their texture, and how they differ depending on their preparation, but notice how your body responds to them. When preparing food, it is sometimes all too easy to judge a personally undesirable result as an error. But when I sit with it, look at, and taste my so-called errors, I actually find valuable insight and information for everything I cook thereafter. My errors are often the foundational information that lead to more insightful understanding and successes in my future. I have some really good sounding information for you about the benefits of honey, sesame seeds, and pumpkin seeds. And as sales worthy as it is, if you know any or all of these ingredients cause your body problems, then don't eat them. It doesn't matter what someone puts in writing or what science knows. Science knows very little. While information provides direction, your body should be providing the feedback that is used for making best decisions. Just because something is on a so-called expert's top 10 or top 5 list of their healthiest foods doesn't mean your body agrees. Food and your body's relationship to different items is fascinating. You could experience magical results or horrendous symptoms to anything with sesame seeds, for example. It may only be sensitive to raw seeds, but not toasted. Or maybe raw tahini is acceptable, but halva is not. White, brown, yellow, violet, and black sesame seeds taste different, and their phytochemical qualities are not the same. Your body responds to each type of sesame seed and each type of product made from sesame seeds differently. For your body, there is a vast difference between raw, roasted, toasted, tahini. Tahini can be raw, roasted, salted, unsalted, smooth, or fibrous. Raw sesame seed oil versus toasted oil, halva, and sesame meal flour, which is the end product after oil extraction, used for baking, protein powder, and animal feed. Every change made to a food — raw, cooked, soaked, and dried, stored, heated, steamed, dehydrated, frozen, powdered, or ground — changes the way your body must respond and interact with it. Imagine a close friend or partner and their various emotions, moods, interests, strengths, weaknesses, and quirks. Each time your friend is in a different state of being, you respond differently to them, and they respond differently to you when you are in your different states of being. Your physical body is the same. It responds to different variations of a same food depending on its state. Any sort of sensitivity begs to be investigated further. It is valuable to know if your body responds to raw, but not to its roasted equivalent. Maybe you are sensitive to the active protective enzymes in the raw food, which is deactivated when it's soaked, cooked, dried, ground, or frozen. If smooth ground tahini is okay, but not the seeds, then maybe your GI tract is sensitive to the texture. If you are eating sesame seed meal in sauces or baked goods without incidence, but your body is intolerant of other forms of sesame seeds, then maybe you are reacting to the oil content. Sesame seed meal flour is the end product after the oil has been extracted. If you eat raw foods but can't eat it when processed, then maybe your intolerance is related to manufacturing processes involved, or maybe cross-contamination exposures. And sometimes a person has a miraculous or disastrous result to a food item that is not a direct physical body response, but rather how your internal bacterial and fungal environments are responding to it. Your body may be so sensitive to sesame seeds that it manifests symptoms when it detects sesame seed molecules in the animal products you consume whose feed includes sesame seed meal flour. Sesame seed meal flour is the byproduct remaining after oil extraction, and it's a great natural source of vegetable protein, 35 to 50% of protein, and iron that animals can benefit from, and is often fed to them as their grain supplements. The same is true of corn. For those with hyperreactivity to corn, the body will be much calmer with grass-fed beef and chickens on corn-free food. Your investigative detective work should also include looking at foods biologically related to the source of your reactions. Are you sensitive to those too? Have you ever looked into cross-sensitivities? For example, sesame seeds are related to rye, peanuts, kiwi fruit, poppy seeds, black walnut, hazelnut, cashew, macadamia nut, and pistachio. Natural personal care product markets are booming with increased consumer awareness about chemicals in their products. This has sesame seed oil finding itself a prominent role in natural products such as lotion, shampoo, conditioner, makeup, and more. Is your body only sensitive to the eaten food item? Or is dermal exposure causing unnecessary grief and drama for your body? You may need to check your product ingredient labels to find out. Certain companies use Latin words instead of their more common names, so take 5 minutes and find out exactly what is in your products. You may need to make a few calls to find out more information. Eliminate any for at least a month to see if it makes a difference to any part or all of your well-being and body function. When an item is known to be a source of aggravation for your body, then recognize, acknowledge, and avoid it. Sesame seeds. Sesame is a beautiful, not-so-big plant with green leaves and charming flowers. There are a variety of sesame plants, and some produce white seeds, while others produce yellow, violet, black, or brown, each with a different taste and a unique set of phytochemicals. If you haven't tried black sesame seed tahini and appreciate a bold, strong taste, then by all means get some. But it doesn't taste anything like the raw or toasted sesame tahini that you know. My appreciation for sesame seeds dramatically exploded when I learned that a whole acre of crop growth is required for only 135 pounds of seeds. They are grown in faraway places that include Africa, China, India, and Mexico. The seed contains 50% oil by weight with equal amounts of polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fatty acids, with a high resistance to oxidation and rancidity. In addition to being a rich source of minerals such as copper and zinc, it has lots of fiber and is also a valuable source of vegetable protein that includes both essential and non-essential amino acids. They are an excellent source of non-hemp vegetable iron, more than the hemp iron in liver by weight. Sesame seeds have high levels of lignans, which is a type of fiber, whose benefits include weight loss, lower blood pressure, protective phytoestrogens, And would you believe that lignans are related to reduced hair loss? Studies suggest a strong relationship between lignin intake and lower preventable breast, lung, colorectal, and prostate cancer. Lignans are also a valuable prebiotic. Prebiotics feed your good bacteria, enabling them to survive and thrive so your body can too. Pumpkin seeds. Like sesame seeds, pumpkin seeds contain 50% oil with polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fatty acids, with very high fiber and protein, with both essential and non-essential amino acids. They too have very high levels of nutritional iron. Their more unique qualities include chlorophyll, remarkable from the green color, zinc, magnesium, as well as many other minerals, and prostaglandins, which have value for men's prostate health. They also have a grand reputation for being an effective antiparasitic, mild laxative, diuretic, and anti-inflammatory. Pepita is another name used to describe the inner green meaty seed of the pumpkin seed. Each type of pumpkin has a slightly different pepita, with a slightly different taste and texture. Much like wine grapes' quality being influenced by the weather, pumpkin seeds vary from one year to the next, too. Raw pumpkin seeds have a bold taste with a more chewy texture, but toasted or soaked and dried, they produce a very different appearance, taste, and texture. The soak and dry technique is simple. Soak for 10 to 15 hours in water, drain, spread them out on a flat metal pan, add salt if you'd like, and dry in the oven at 150 or 200 Fahrenheit or in a dehydrator for about 15 hours. Powdered down, pumpkin seeds are used as sauce thickeners, and its oil is a luscious emerald green oil often used as a prominent salad oil in Europe. Some pumpkin seed oils are brown from the manufacturing oil extraction processes, and they taste entirely differently from the luscious green ones. It can be fun to see how different the same seed tastes when raw, toasted, or dried, and the quality of the soil, climate, country of origin, and the time of harvest, before or after vine ripening, vary the quality and value of the seed. Or how dramatically oil extraction processes of the same type of seed vary the flavor, color, and aroma. You don't need to be a wine aficionado to appreciate the fine, striking, or subtle differences of a same food. Honey. On my article, I have book recommendations of three books that I have in my personal reference library that I can suggest, but there are even more books on honey out now than there used to be. Honey has been used and revered since Egyptian times for its healing and sweetness. There is even a wine made from honey, and whole books have been written about the techniques of mead making. It is estimated that it takes a flight path of 3 orbits around the planet for bees to make just 1 pound of honey, whose end result may be white, gold, yellow, red, brown, green, or black. In recent years, beekeepers have even found blue honey in their beehives, from being too close to candy factories or waste dumping sites. If you want to see what that looks like, I have another photo of that on my article too. Honey is pre-digested and concentrated flower nectar made up of about 38% fructose, 30% glucose, and 2% sucrose. Depending on the person and the type of honey, its glycemic index may be as low as 38 or as high as 87. It is known to inhibit at least 60 bacterial species as an antibacterial, and the darker the honey, the higher its antibacterial properties. With its high level of oligosaccharides, it is an excellent source of prebiotics, which ensure that your internal bacterial environments survive and thrive, so your body can too. Used externally or internally, it works in many ways to benefit health and healing. It increases immune function, improves and heals digestion, works as an anti-inflammatory and antioxidant, promotes new tissue growth, reduces scarring, deodorizes putrid smells from infected wounds, calms nerves, and is used for gastroenteritis, internal and external ulcers, upper respiratory infections, wounds, injuries, abscesses, cracked nipples from breastfeeding, fistulas, burns, yeast infections, hemorrhoids, cystic fibrosis, MRSA-infected wounds, herpes, and more. Like all remedies, it won't work for everyone, and its preparation for external application is tricky and may sting on contact. When I moved to Europe, I was introduced to the many types of single-flower honeys. Each one carries its original plant properties, personality, aroma, and distinction. Honey tasting fast became a delightful hobby as I scoured the marketplaces to find clove, orange blossom, lavender, eucalyptus, thyme, chestnut, buckwheat, pine, sage, tupelo, and other unique single-flower honey varieties. I still have yet to try honeydew honey, which is quite unique, and I look forward to that opportunity. Did you know that honey from sage and tupelo have a higher fructose content? Because the liver must convert fructose to glucose, it may be a better choice for certain people. Manuka is a honey from the tea tree and is often labeled with a number grade, the unique Manuka factor, the UMF number. In general, the higher the number, the more expensive it is, and the stronger its antibiotic properties. While it is effective for certain people, it can be problematic for others and may cause blood sugar spikes for certain people with diabetes. There is some heated controversy over the safety of giving honey to infants under 12 months because honey may contain spores, which, in an undeveloped digestive tract, could proliferate and cause medical concerns. Some professionals affirm the danger, yet raw unfiltered honey is the medical remedy of choice for many undeveloped countries when newborns have intestinal and digestive illness or gastroenteritis. Not all my purchases are organic, but honey is one product that I make a point of buying organic. I prefer raw, unfiltered honey for its more earthy and authentic quality. I use less expensive honey for cooking and gourmet single-flower honeys for table use. If you like honey, exploring new taste experiences and having a palate for fine foods, then do investigate the savory opportunities the bees and their beekeepers have to offer. Now on to the last part and the step-by-step instructions with a couple tips that I didn't include in my video. Number one, toast the seeds in a nonstick pan on medium heat. Do not use oil because the honey will not be able to grab the seed if it has an oil layer on it. Shake and move the seeds around. Toast them. Don't burn them. Toast sesame seeds separately from pumpkin seeds. When you finish this, and once they're toasted, put the seeds in a different bowl and remove any seed dust still remaining in the pan, because you're going to use the same pan for the honey. Put 1 to 2 soup spoons of honey in the non-stick pan, depending on the quantity and type of seeds you are using, the desired result, and the end use. For 16 ounces of sesame seeds, you will need about 2 soup spoons of honey. For 8 ounces of pumpkin seeds, you will need about 1 heaping soup spoon of honey. If you watch the video, you will see that I didn't use enough honey, but it still worked. The result was nice, and I would do it again in the future depending on my end use and who I was cooking for. Do they like sweet? Are they diabetic? Am I aiming for a more salty with background sweet taste or a sweet taste with a slight salty finish? Using a rigid silicone spatula, move the honey around on the pan. Once the honey begins to bubble, that's it. Don't add any more honey once it starts to bubble. Keep moving the honey around the pan as it bubbles, and soon it will be foaming. Keep the foaming honey in the middle of the pan in the same spot. Quickly, the foam will become a lighter color, and you need to pay attention. As soon as you smell that, I am about 30 seconds away from burning, smell, then get the pan off the heat. Add the seeds quickly. Mix the seeds and honey in the pan until you have a sticky mass. Keep mixing until all the seeds have the sticky honey sheen on them. It will seem like there is not enough honey, but there is. Keep stirring, be brisk, and do not dilly-dally. Transfer the sticky seed mass to your cooling surface. I like the non-stick flexible cutting mats, but tin foil on a tray also works fine. If you like salt, this is the time to add it on to the top of your seeds. Once it's on your mat or on your tin foil, put it in the fridge to cool and harden. Cooling time will depend on the quantity, thickness, and the amount of honey you used. It will take anywhere from 10 to 45 minutes. Take it out of the fridge, break it apart, eat, use as a topping, decoration, or as a component for chocolate or carob bark. If it hasn't all been eaten, then place it in an airtight container and store in the fridge. I have never put it in the freezer, but that might create desirable results too. It keeps for about 5 days in the fridge, but slightly changes with each passing day. Two different and valuable tricks. Be creative, but have your creative plan before you begin so you have what you need on hand. You can put the seeds down in balls, shapes, like round cookies or something else. You can also place a second non-stick flexible mat or foil on top. Then with your hands or a rolling pin, roll the seeds between the two surfaces to your desired thickness to create a uniform sheet of the honey sesame crunch. If you live in a humid location, leave it out too long, it softens too much, or it has that soggy type of crunch, or you want to reshape it into little hearts or something else, then take what you want to use, place it in a glass baking pan, and put it in the oven on 200 for about 10 minutes. This dries out the humidity so it can reharden, and when it is hot, it will be super soft so you can reshape it exactly as you want it. Once you're finished, put it back in the fridge so it can set and harden again. And that's all I have to offer you today, but that's a lot of information. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you found it useful, and I hope you look at the video, because if you really want to do this, you probably want to see me do it. And the information on the video is different from what I've just shared with you in writing. And I look forward to the next time you join me.